Well, last week we started on a new short series looking at the book of Psalms. And I'm sure that many of you have a favorite psalm or psalms. And I imagine it's because for many of you, they really mean something to you. They resonate with you. Maybe at a particular time in your life, you were experiencing something, and as you read that psalm, it was helpful. It was comforting. It was a challenge or just what you needed to hear at that time. And so often that's the case with the Psalms. They resonate with us in our own circumstances. Because the Psalms largely are the reflections of those who write them on their life. They are writing about what they're experiencing, what they are going through. And so in many of the Psalms, there's raw emotion and feeling. And sometimes that can make it a little bit tricky for us to try and pick up what the author is truly feeling, what they are going through. Sometimes we won't know what they're going through, but we might still grasp the feeling. Gerald again mentioned last week that Psalms are poetry. That also makes it at times a little bit harder to translate them and to really understand how they apply to us. But often there's vivid pictures. Some are really familiar and clear, but some of them are a little bit more obscure. And again, that just makes it a little bit hard. It's not always easy, I suppose, I'm trying to say, when it comes to the Psalms. But can I encourage you that it is well worth it to take time to find a study Bible or commentary that will help you along as you look at some of these Psalms. They are rich and they are deep. They are reflective, and the author is so often humble and honest. And that helps us as we also seek to approach God. And so I'm looking forward to sharing some Psalms with you. And today, as Nathaniel's read, we're looking at Psalm 121. And I want to just give a bit of a background. I think it's helpful because I want to look at a few Psalms within the same little group. And so from Psalm 120, if you've got your Bibles, you can look at it. Psalm 120, you probably only have to flick over the page to Psalm 134. 15 Psalms that all come as a group, and they're known as the Psalms of Ascents, as if you are ascending. And there's 15 of them, and you could go home today, you could read them, they're all very short, and in one sitting, in a short space of time, you could read them all. Now, what we understand is this: of the 15 Psalms, they are grouped in threes. I don't want to confuse you with the maths, okay? But they're in groups of threes, and the first four groups of threes have similar themes. So if you look at Psalm 120, then you will find that it speaks of distress. And as you move to Psalm 121, then it is a psalm which gives hope, which speaks about God as our keeper or our deliverer. In the third of each set, it then speaks of security. So you can go through from Psalm 120 to 134 and find the first 12 to follow that theme in these groups of threes. The last three speak of arrival. Because you see, these songs of ascents are, we understand, psalms that would have been sung by pilgrims, the Jewish people making their way from their homes in procession, heading towards Jerusalem, heading towards the holy city, where they would have to go for pilgrimages, to get there for festivals throughout the year. And we understand that this group of 15 psalms were the ones that they would have sung on the way. And so many of the psalms are describing that journey, leaving their home. So in Psalm 120, verse 5, "Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar." They live in a world which is dark and difficult, and they're making their way there to Zion, to Jerusalem, one and the same thing. And they're going to arrive there at their destination where they go and long to go to worship the Lord. And so all these psalms are the story of a journey, of a pilgrimage, to finally get to be with God where they will worship him in the temple. It's really important to have that understanding of these psalms as we study them, because it actually helps us translate them and then apply it to ourselves that little bit more. And so as we picture then these pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem on their journey to go to worship God, the parallel is, and the comparison is then made with you and me, with everyone who is a Christian. We are pilgrims in this world. And we are making our way in a world which is dark and dangerous and so very often difficult. And we are making our way to our heavenly home. We have a destination. And we will arrive there. Because for all those who are Christians, as we mentioned earlier in the service, those who believe have the guarantee of being saved and of eternal life. And so this is the wonderful comparison and parallel we draw from these Psalms to our own life of pilgrims. And these are really the praises of the pilgrims, songs for pilgrims, as we read through them all. And so in Psalm 121, this is the second. So Psalm 120 is described a bit of distress in the home setting and situation. But leaving there, this is a psalm that speaks of deliverance, of security, of hope in God. And the psalmist starts by saying, I lift my eyes to the hills. Problems. But there is also promised protection. This is a helpful psalm when we understand it in its right context for us today. Because if you're a Christian, then as you go on your journey, there are no doubt potential problems and real and actual problems that you face. We make our way through life and there are difficulties and dangers, there are falls, but there is also God's promised protection so that you will arrive at your destination. And so first up then, the psalmist describes for us three potential problems. The first we read in verse 3, and that is that we might slip. He will not let your foot be moved, but he who keeps you will not slumber. Now the opening question, I lift my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? It could have a twofold meaning. You see, the author is not likely looking to the hills for help, but as they make their journey and they look to the hills, they're imagining danger and the potential for danger. The hills are actually not a place of help, but a place of potential problems. Because there are unknown dangers there. There might be wild animals. There might be bandits and thieves waiting for them on their journey. So they look to the hills and they're saying, where am I going to find help for my journey? The other thought is that the hills they look to are the far-off hills surrounding Zion, surrounding Jerusalem. They can see the destination and they're saying, where's my help coming from? How am I going to complete my journey and get to my destination? I lift my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? And on the journey there are potential problems. Their foot may slip. We're told that God will not let their foot be moved. But there is a danger they could fall. I'm sure the same is true here in Australia with bushwalking as it is in Scotland, as I mentioned to you before. So many people expect an easy climb. They do not predict fierce weather, unexpected changes in the weather. And so many people slip and fall and it puts them in danger and they're stranded and stuck. If a pilgrim slipped on their journey, they could be injured, and would they be able to complete the journey? Would they be in even greater danger from bandits and wild animals? And so what might be a physical danger for the pilgrim as they walk, for you and I, is much more likely a spiritual danger, that you and I might slip and fall in sin. And sin is so dangerous. So hazardous to our journey. That is why we are clearly told we need to put sin to death. We're not to entertain sin. We're not to play with it. Because even a small slip can prove fatal. So many people have wandered from their faith because of guilt over sin or because of the consequences and effects of sin in their lives. And as you and I go through our lives, we must be aware of the danger. Sin can stop us worshipping God along the way. These psalms were sung as they went. They were worshipping God like Gerald spoke of last week. And sin can stop us doing that. It can create distance between ourselves and God. So sin is a very real danger that we might slip. Sin can cause us to deviate from the path. It can hurt us. It can result in broken relationships and ultimately prove fatal. The hills are dangerous. The journey we go through, potential problems. We remember that we have an enemy. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He would love for you to slip and fall. He would love to trip you up. But there are two other potential dangers. We read them in verse 6. It says in verse 5, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And this is part of the problem we have in interpreting the Psalms here. Now, if we are like the pilgrim making our way on the journey, we might understand that the sun could burn us. It might make us weary or faint. But we might think, I don't know how the moon is going to affect me, really. I don't know what danger there would be there. But the author clearly had something in mind about the danger that could be posed. It might simply be all he is saying is day or night, there is danger. At all times, there is danger. And if they are wandering in the dark, then it could be that's when the wild animals or the bandits or the thieves come. For you and I, at any time of day, at any time in our lives, we might face potential problems. We will face the difficulties of the journey. Now, maybe it is something along the lines of in the day, the dangers are a little bit more seen and visible, a bit more predictable, but in the night, we can't see so well. We can't anticipate what's going to happen. And in our lives, likewise, there are many unknown dangers. None of us can predict what our life holds. Many of us would not have perhaps chosen the path for our lives, the journey we've been on that we each have had to take. Sometimes the danger has come that our foot has slipped and fallen. We've slipped away from God through sin. For some, it might be that we've, through laziness or apathy, fallen away from God. Maybe for some, we've slipped away from God because of disappointment. For some, it is suffering. So many of you face suffering in your bodies of pain and of illness. And it can make the journey hard, can make it hard to keep going, perhaps to ever believe you will reach your final destination or just to even long for it even more. For some, there is the danger that what you experience on the journey might make you want to stop. But we face so much more. Life throws up so many things that can be dangerous to us reaching our heavenly home. Right now, so many of you have and are finding life difficult and have over many months throughout this year especially. It is hard mentally to keep going, to be disciplined, to continue to love yourself and one another and above all to love God. We feel fatigue and mental stress and difficulty. And so the journey is hard. There are potential problems and dangers along the way. But here's the wonderful promise of this psalm. Despite the potential problems, there is promised protection. See, as we look at all three of these dangers, the danger of the slip of the sun and the moon, what we find is that there is help for those who are Christians. Now, without verse 2, we would be lost. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Can you see that today? Can you see that your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth? Because if you do not have God with you, you will never reach that destination. You will never reach heaven. He's the only one who can help you. And if you are struggling in your journey, but you are a Christian, then the wonderful promise is that God is with you on the journey and he will deliver you safely home. There's no help from the hills. There's only danger. But for the Christian, we have God. So remember, one of the dangers is that you might slip. You might fall in sin some way. And yet verse 3 tells us he will not let your foot be moved. You might slip, you might fall, but there is forgiveness for you if you are a Christian. That is not going to so derail you that you cannot come back on the path. For all those who come to God, who seek forgiveness, it is yours. God knows about it. He's with you on the journey, and he's the only one who can help you when you slip. He's the only one who can offer forgiveness to you. But the psalm tells us much more about his promised protection as well. And everything it tells us should give us peace, and it should assure us. The first thing it tells us is that God is powerful. When we look at verse 2 again, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. If you look to the hills, you won't find any help there. But guess what? As a Christian, you can look to the one who made the hills, the maker of heaven and earth. God is powerful, and part of that power relates to his sovereignty. He's in control of all things. Nothing can happen to you on your journey that God himself does not know about, that he's not with you in, and that he does not allow. He's so powerful that nothing is out with his control. Every danger and threat in this life on your journey takes place in a world that God has made and that he is the ruler over today. That should encourage us on our journey. That should help us, should assure us. He is the Lord. We read Psalm 95 from verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. This is your God. He is Lord over all creation, and he's on your side. He loves you. He is for you. He is never working against you. He is always working everything for your good. In Isaiah 44 from verse 6 to 8, we read this. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. This is the one who is your God, who's for you. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me. Since I have appointed an ancient people, let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Do you hear that? Your God says to you, fear not, nor be afraid. If you look to the hills, yes, there is danger, but you need not fear because God is with you. He is powerful. He's the maker of heaven and of earth. So yes, there is potential problems. But there is promised protection from a powerful God. And listen also to this. He is personal. He is personal. If you dip back into Psalm 121 again, what are you going to read? He is your shade in verse 5. Verse 4 says, he who keeps Israel. So he who watches over all his children is also your shade on your right hand. He is personal. And as the sun seeks to harm us, as we journey through life, as it may weary us, sap us of our strength, as some of you might be feeling right now in your journey through life, God is your shade. He protects you. You all know, living in this wonderful sun-drenched country of ours, you know what it's like to be out in the sun. You know what it's like to be tired and weary and burned from it, but I'm sure you also know how to find a bit of shade. You wear a hat, you pull up a beach umbrella, you find a shady spot. God is your shade to protect you. There's promised protection for the Christian. He protects you because he's with you at your right hand. Do you get that? He's right there with you. He's never leaving you. So your journey might throw up things along the way which are hard. It might cause you to suffer and grow weary or faint, but God is always with you. He protects you. How else do we know he's personal? 6 times we read the word keep or keeper. Look in verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Verse 4. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. Verse 7. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. He's got you. He's got you. He is your keeper. You are safe in his hands. Day or night, he keeps you and me. He will keep you from evil, and he will keep your life. It's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Is that not helpful for you on your journey through life? Does that not assure you that you will reach your destination? You do not walk aimlessly? He's got you. He knows what you are going through, and he is powerful to do it. And so we have a powerful and personal God. But his protection is also perpetual. It lasts forever. So look at verse 3 and 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God doesn't clock off. His shift never finishes. He doesn't take his eyes off you. Saw a little video this week of a grandma trying to make cookies with her grandson. And she likely knew what she was doing when she set up her camera to record it. She knew what her grandson was likely to do. This little boy was maybe 2 or 3. He was only saying a couple of words. He was very small, standing on a stool. And every time this grandma went to add an ingredient into the bowl to be mixed, when she turned to grab what was next or to look at her recipe book, the little boy flung his hands in and grabbed whatever was last in the bowl and immediately put it in his face. So if you're familiar with making cookies or cakes, commonly the first ingredient's butter. So she put the butter in and she said, "Don't eat the butter." And he went to do it and she grabbed his hands. And she said, "Now I need to get the flour." So she got the flour, the wee boy's hands went in and he grabbed it and he popped this butter in his mouth. It was horrendous. And then she got the flour and she wiped them down and she put the flour in. And then she looked to try and get the next thing, the baking soda. While she's grabbing the baking soda, he's got his hands in the flour and he's filling his mouth full of flour. And then she got the baking soda, put it in. The same thing happened over and over again. Butter, flour, sugar, baking soda, all in this little boy's mouth. It was funny to watch, and he did it every single time her attention was glanced away, even for a second. God doesn't slumber or sleep. He doesn't take his eyes off you. He sees you always, and he's with you always. He is your keeper. Verse 8 sums it up this way as well. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. His promised protection is perpetual, eternal, always. He not only watches your coming and going, he keeps your coming and going from this time and forevermore. If you want to reach heaven, you want to get to that final destination after life, then know this. There's only one person who can help you get there. God. You can look around you. You can look within. You can try by yourself, but you will never manage it. It's impossible. If you look to the hills, there's no help there. There's only danger. And every one of us has the devil trying to keep us away from God. There's only one way to heaven, and that is with and through Jesus Christ. You need to be united to him, tied to him, bound to him now and always. Sin stops everyone getting to God and to heaven, but Jesus paid the price for that sin, and he removed sin as an insurmountable obstacle, so that now we can journey with Jesus. So look to the only one, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who keeps his children, the one who even gave his own son for sinners. And if you do not know Jesus, then you can today. You can find help for this journey as you seek him and come to him. Let me finish. This world can be harsh. Our journey through life can be difficult and uncertain. I think most people in the world right now can recognize that this world and life is at this time uncertain, and it is insecure, fraught with danger and difficulty. But for those who will walk through life with God, with Jesus as your Savior and Lord, calling him Father, for those who are his disciples, then you do have a destination, and you will reach that destination. So many people cannot even say that. They have no idea where they are headed. They have no purpose. They're like Nikki and I on that walk. We don't know where we're going, but we hope it's good. But the Christian has a glorious destination that they will reach. To finish, I want to read Psalm 122. They come in threes, right? First is the distress, the second is the journey, which speaks of the hope and the confidence, the assurance that we have with our keeper. And the last one speaks of security, of promise. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Can you imagine they've arrived? Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. They get there. They reach Jerusalem. And there is peace. And there is security. And there is safety for them there. And for those who are Christians, we long to be to God and to know that fully. But even now on this journey, there is peace, protection, and security now and forevermore. So today, be assured. Rejoice, praise, worship, and give thanks to your God. Amen. Let me pray.